to the ushers, thank you for your generosity and faithfulness in continuing to sow in the Lord's work. The Lord bless you for that, and may He just increase the seeds of faith that you sow this morning. Love and appreciate you all. It's good to be back. We missed you. We had a leadership planning and strategizing weekend last weekend, and ministered to the leaders in a wonderful setting. We were at Marloth Park. It was great. It was small and intimate, but it's good to be back. This is home. You know, during the praise and worship, I was listening to the wind rattle things here, and Jaco and Lewat Dostel gemarket by a donkey. And I came to this realization, there's often times where I'm either in that building or in this building, completely alone, well, it's the three of us, me, myself, and I. And you know what? It's just a lifeless building. It's like, it's nothing. It's nothing. But when you people are here, it's absolutely awesome. It's like a black and white picture being colored in, or a picture in a coloring book being colored in a man's life. So I want to thank each and every single one of you this morning. Thank you for making a decision with your mind to get dressed, to freshen up, brushed your hair, brushed your teeth, and to make an effort to be here this morning. So I want to say bless you and thank you. Really appreciate you. Add life to this place. Love and appreciate every single one of you. Julle hierso, die mense daar langs aan. En vir die van julle wat by die huis is, ons mis julle. I want to encourage you to come to church. Trust that we'll make a plan to comply to the 50 limitations. Maybe on those days other people might not decide to come. But get back into fellowship. So I want to thank you from the bottom of our heart. We love and appreciate you all. Thank you for making the time to come. Would you give yourselves a round of applause this morning? Bless you. This morning I want to speak about something I could just not get out of my head. I was thinking like, Lord, is that it? Is it just this? Well, it is just this. Far be it from me to add one thing to what the Lord wants to add, to what the Lord wants to share with us this morning. And this morning we're going to take a journey with King David. The Lord, the Holy Spirit comes upon him and anoints him and uses him to write a particular psalm. We're going to walk with David through the psalm and see the journey that he goes through emotionally and spiritually, and see how close it is to the journey that we often on in our lives and our walk with God. So this morning's message doesn't have a title. It is simply Psalm 139. So you want to follow on the screen with us, or in your Bibles, or on your notepads, or on your cell phones, wherever, as long as you can see and read the Word of God with us this morning. And I want you, before we get started, to Rose said this morning that God sees the intimate details of your life, and this teddy bear represents us. Hallelujah. Hello. So picture this scene of God sitting down and holding his most prized possession in his hands. No distractions. He's not multitasking. Hello. He has his undivided attention is focused on his most prized possession. That's you. I want you to try and picture yourself in the best place that you could find yourself. I'm talking about die fisiese vertrek, nie emosioneel gewys nie, of wat jy dink in jou gedagtes, but the best place physically that you could be. Perhaps for some it might be on the top of a mountain. For some it might be deep down in a valley, alongside a river met 'n paar verstokke. For other people it might be scratching your knee around a racetrack, or just cruising on the open road with miles and miles of tarmac in front of you, so flat that you can see into the future. For some it might be, I don't know, behind a sewing machine, or in the kitchen with steaming pots, or I don't know. I say that respectfully. There's nothing wrong with that. Just picture the best setting that you could possibly be, and picture the Lord right there with you. His undivided attention on you. Picture his gaze focused on you. Not concerned about fighting enemies or commanding angels or dealing with issues, but just his attention focused on you. And I'm going to try and do that this morning. Try and imagine I'm not here and kap julle dowe en julle is nie hierso nie, and just intimately holding this precious, precious creature in His hands. And that's you. Not the whole world in His hands. You. And you alone. Picture that for a minute or two, wherever that may be. Now, in that context, listen to these verses. With that context, the Lord holding His most prized possession. Psalm 139. Remember the Holy Spirit anointing David. And this is what comes out in the psalm. O Lord, You've examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I am far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it. And even with all of this intimate knowledge of us and all of our issues, He really loves who we really are. Think about that. God really loves who we really are. So maklik vir my om my wonderlike, vriendelike Sondag gesiggie te toon op 'n Sondag. Speak Christianese, hoe gaan dit my broer? Nee, hallelujah. Hallelujah, dit gaan goed. And then to be somebody completely different when things don't go my way. When somebody gives me a hug and all they're trying to do is find an open spot in my back to drive the knife in. Ah. Completely different. When you're at your worst, God really loves who you really are. Not just your Sunday self. Think about that. With that knowledge in mind, He really loves who we really are. Verse 5 says, You go before me, and this blew my mind this morning. I don't know how many times I've read Psalm 139 over the years. This blew my mind. You go before me, and you what? You follow me. Much has been said, and rightly so, about us following God. Follow the Lord. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Follow in the steps of Jesus. But God following me? Why would that happen? He's willing to let us take the lead because He trusts us. He's willing to let us take the lead because He trusts you. If I was God, thank God I'm not God, I would have entrusted the gospel to mighty, mighty angels, faithful warrior beings. And these spirits that obey the Lord and work for the Lord. Instead of entrusting the gospel to me, where sometimes I feel like it, sometimes I don't. Then I'm in a good mood. Then I'm in a bad mood. Then I'm doing it right. Then I'm doing it wrong. But God says, the scripture says, He follows me. Why? God trusts you. God trusts His precious gospel to people like you and me. 1 or 2 weeks ago, we spoke about jars of clay. He trusts us with that message. It's like God saying, go for it. Go. I know you can. I've got your back. Imagine that. God following us. He says, you place your hand of blessing on my head. He's willing to let us take the lead because He trusts us. And yes, God following you. God following you. He's willing to be associated with you. He's willing to be identified with you. Here's the deal. Scripture speaks about Satan presenting himself to God. God says, what are you doing? He says, no, I'm going through. I'm making maracas on the earth. I'm going to and fro throughout the earth. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? God's willing to associate himself with Job. He's willing to associate himself with you. Sometimes people throw tantrums in public and do things, and when they start like manifesting, we sort of distance ourselves. Now, I'm a very quiet, shy, withdrawn individual. Well, it's completely the opposite. If I had my way, I'd sing melodies to her in the shopping malls. I've learned after several years of marriage, don't do that. Sometimes she thinks I'm trying to draw attention to myself. I just want to express, man. I mean, I love this chick, man. If I want to fray her in public, I'll fray her in public, man. I want to express my love. But Colette is all quiet. Sometimes when I like get super excited, like just sort of distance herself, like you there. She'll pretend. But God's not like that. God's willing to associate himself with us. And it's because of that, that the next verse, the psalmist says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. Verse 6. Why does the psalmist say that? Lord, first of all, that you're willing to follow me. You know me intimately and you still love me. You really love who I really am and you're willing to follow me. Place your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I don't understand it, Lord. I submit to you that David must have seen things in himself that he thinks, oh, Lord, you're still willing to associate yourself with me like this. And then something happens in this psalm. In this journey, the Spirit of God's on David and he starts meditating how close God is to him. And then there's a change here. David starts thinking about being separated from God. Now, somewhere along the line, from time to time, we pick up a speed wobble in our walk with God. How many of you, motorcyclists, have experienced what's known as a tank slapper? A tank slapper is where it can happen because of various reasons. Sometimes the bike is not set up properly. It can do with defective parts in the bike, rim skew, bearing shot steering neck bearings or something like that. Or it can just be you hit something in the road at the wrong angle, at the wrong speed, and you get a tank slapper. The handlebars start doing this beyond control. Daarom het hulle ding ontwerp wat hulle noem a steering damper. It's like a seat belt for your handlebars in the motorcycle that when it starts. A tank slapper can be so violent that it forces the little pistons in the brake calipers to the side. They track our brick and there's nothing there. That's a tank slapper. Sometimes we can pick up a speed wobble in our journey with the Lord. And oftentimes it happens when things are going very, very, very good for us. It's like, and now? No, who know he saw? We pick up a tank slapper. It's like David gets a speed wobble. He's contemplating the goodness of God and how close God is. And ewe skielik, wat gebeur? Hits the fan. No, the pawpaw. Where's your mind? The pawpaw hits the fan. Or let's just put it in a different term. Life happens. Have you been there? Life happens. And this is what happens here. And he starts thinking about what it must be like to be separate from God. So we pick up from verse 7. He says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me. He's thinking about crazy things now. And the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. So he starts thinking about darkness and being separate from God and the grave and all sorts of things like that as he's contemplating how close God is to him. And then David, he has a reality check and realizes that God is even closer than he originally contemplated in the opening verses. In the opening verses, it's like this. It's like there's God and there's David. There's God and little teddy bear, God, David. And then God, by the Spirit, starts taking David even deeper and deeper as we journey in this psalm. You know, he says, then he thinks about being separate from God and God brings him to the next level, deeper and closer and more intimate with the Lord. And notice that when David was thinking about being separated from God, God shows him even more intimacy. I think of times when Colette and I have intense fellowship and she does something wrong, because in an argument she's wrong. Even when I'm wrong, she's wrong, according to me. And then dan kry Leons on his still staper. And I inflate my lips to 20 bar. I'm bromic. And then it's, I answer in monosyllabic answers, just one syllable. That's a little. I take myself right back to the days in the cave, which is, I see word in here, it just grunts and groans. And, like it. It's like that. But with God, it's different. With God, he draws closer, knowing that we need him more, and shows more intimacy. When David is thinking about being separate from God, God shows more intimacy. God leans forward more, wants to make himself more a part of David's life. And it gets closer. So it's not just God and David. God gets more intimate with David. In verse 13, he says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb." So in the beginning, David speaks about traveling and the farthest oceans and the depths and the heights. Yeah, it gets internal. He starts internalizing it. And he says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion." So much for the pro-abortions that believe that the fetus is not a living human being, that it's not a life, that it's not a person, because it hasn't spoken or hasn't reasoned or hasn't thought out yet. From that moment of conception, that's a spirit being whose earthly tent is being developed. That's what the scripture teaches us over here. Verse 15, "You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb." Woven together. Verse 16, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." In verse 17, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me." That's where God is. And folks, as we use this little simple childish illustration this morning, where are you at in your journey with God? Are you perhaps at the place where you're thinking, "Lord, what if I am seemingly far from you? What if I go to the grave? Where are you, Lord? Where are you in your thoughts towards God this morning?" Do you realize that this is God's intimate knowledge of you? From before you were born, watching you being formed. All God has ever desired, from the Garden of Eden to the Garden of Gethsemane, was intimacy with man. We've been created for intimate fellowship with the Lord. I want to submit to you that God desires fellowship with you more than we ever desire fellowship with him. You've not been created as a scientific experiment where God throws you into this world for stuff to happen and sees, right, kom ons kyk wat gebeur. It's like, throw the chips in the air and let's see where they land and let's see how they fall. No, intimate knowledge. You're intimately woven in the womb. If you study that and see the development of the human fetus, it's incredible. There's so many unanswered questions that the scientists just do not have answers for in the development of a fetus. One of them is when our eyelids are formed in our mom's womb, something out of nowhere, it's one piece of skin, just splits it like an invisible scalpel, comes along and just... But there's no explanation for these things. That's why it says secretly woven. Some translations say secretly woven together in my mother's womb. This is the knowledge that God has of us and the intimacy that he desires for each one of us. Yes, your Babel, I think. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. Outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you are still with me. And sometimes, that speed wobble that we spoke about, that tank slapper, sometimes we are most vulnerable when we're most intimate with God. I'll give an example. So here, Jesus asks the disciples, who are the people saying that I am? And the disciples give them answers. And he says to Peter, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. You're not just anointed, you are the anointed one. You are God's Christ. And that's when Jesus says to him, upon this rock, the rock of this truth, that I'm the Christ, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Matthew 16 and verse 18. And Jesus says to Peter, man hasn't taught you this. This is not something that you heard at a sermon when the pastor was preaching. God has revealed this to you. Imagine this happened in front of the disciples. Imagine what Peter thought. Like, hey, I got the revelation of who Jesus is. I'm the man. I'm so smooth, I roll uphill. That's what happens. And the next minute, Jesus speaks about his crucifixion and arrest. And Peter says, no, I'll have no part of that. And what does Jesus say to Peter? The law of double reference in the scripture. Get behind me, Satan. So 1 minute he's there. The next minute, one huge piece of humble pie. Yes, Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's up there with Peter, James, and John. On the Mount of Transfiguration. And Moses appears to him. And Elijah appears. Moses representing the law. Elijah representing the prophets. Jesus representing the combination of the two. Coming together. And they have this incredible experience up there. And Peter's so excited. He says, Lord, this is lacquer. Let's have a rally here. Let's pitch our tents, Esau. They have the mountaintop experience. And the Lord says, don't share with anybody what happens here. So they have a mountaintop experience. Where do they go after that? Back down into the demon-infested valley of real life. Sometimes in our journey and our walk with God, we are at our most vulnerable when we're experiencing a spiritual high. You see, we get filled to be emptied again. We receive so we can give. You see, we're not just saved for our own benefit. There's unsaved men, women, and children on the other side of your obedience. We get saved so that this precious, precious life of Jesus in us that we can share with other people. David experiences this, and he speaks about this in the psalm. So sometimes we're at our most vulnerable when we experience intimacy with God. This is so that our faith can be tested for the purpose of growth. God is a master builder. He can't help himself. God is about increase. The whole gospel is about improvement. Somebody argue with me. Isn't it so? The whole gospel is about improvement, getting better, not settling for second best, not complacency. Same old, same old. The whole gospel is about improvement. Going from darkness into light. Going from death to life. Going from being hell-bound to heaven-bound. Going from being a nobody to a somebody in Jesus. Reminds me of that beautiful song by Casting Crowns. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody. Save my soul. Trust me, the song is much better. I can't do it justice. That's what the gospel is about. And that's what God is about. He doesn't want to leave you alone. He wants you to grow and grow and grow and grow. So our faith gets tested for the purpose of growth. That's why we go through these things. And here, David's mind wanders off to others. So he's thinking about the intimacy of God, God following him, and how he's woven in the womb. And then his mind goes here. Why? Folks, we have to remind ourselves that this is under the leading of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 19, what does David start doing? So yeah, he's having intimate connection with God. He's enjoying God, and God is enjoying him. And then what's happened? His mind starts like, starts looking around like, ja, hy kyk rond, songs. Hy kyk rond. In steede van om vir God te kyk, kyk hy rond. Hy sê, wat maak die ander mense? What are the other people doing? He starts looking around. Are we perhaps not at that place in South Africa? I don't know where you are. I don't know about me. I've got 10 fingers. And sadly, a lot of times they're pointing at other people in the government that are marking droog, doing a job that I'm so completely convinced that I can do better. I'm convinced I can do better. Really? Don't you think that God would have given me that platform of influence if he saw fit? I'm just saying. When are they going to do this? When are they going to do that? Wanneer gaan die, who are the they? I've still to meet the they. We are the they. We are the they. We should be the agents of change. There's a sign above that roller door there that says, be the change you want to see. And yeah, David's eyes start wandering. He takes his eyes off an intimate connection with God. He starts looking at other people. Verse 19. Oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Wie van ons het sulke gedagtes gehad aangaande ons huidige situasie in wonderlike nuwe Suid-Afrika? Let's be honest with each other. Oh Lord, if only you would destroy the wicked. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a time when I was part of the wicked. Why is it so quiet in this church? There was a time when I was part of the wicked. There was a time when I lived for myself. Me, myself, and I. The three most important people in the world. And David says, oh Lord, oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. Verse 21. Oh Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred. Your enemies are my enemies. Wow, I think this is a vicious psalm this day. Where's all this hatred? This is a man of whom God says, David's a man after my own heart. He speaks about all the hatred in his heart. Ladies and gentlemen, if our hearts are full of hatred, we're in a dangerous, dangerous place. Why? You know what we're doing? We're simply doing the work of the devil. As ek dan hierso in myself, what self-righteousness, self-geregverdigheid, point fingers all the time. You know what I'm doing? I'm the devil's work. Is nie so nie, Tannie? Die duivel kom om te beskuldig en vinger te wys. That's one of his names, says he's the accuser of the brethren. Has God appointed me? Some people have a supernatural gifting to go around and point out the little specks in everybody's eyes when they got these groot planks in their eyes. Die Here sê vir my, oh, ek het 'n woord van kennis. Regtig? Maybe. But to do that all the time, and I'm not knocking the gifts of the Spirit. Please hear me. There must come a time where somebody lovingly speaks into your life and say, my brother, you're stepping out of line. How can I pray with you? How can I help you? But sometimes when we are accusing all the time, am I not doing the work of the devil? Don't you think there are enough people on the planet making us feel bad about what we do wrong all the time? Always pointing fingers. Nou mense, ons het daai goddelike balans nodig waar ons mense inspraak het in ons lewens. The less accountable we need to be, the more accountable we need to make ourselves. Hello? The more freedom and authority you have, the more you need to make yourself accountable. The more you need to do that. The more you need to do that. So, yeah, David's eyes go off the Lord and he starts looking around at the other people around him. He says, Lord, All of this, he says, I hate them with total hatred. Folks, the only thing that we should hate is evil. The scripture teaches us to hate evil. It says, hate what is evil. Just like that. Hate evil, not people. We've said this before, and it's worth looking at again. Love the person, but hate the sin. And somebody said, yeah, but the person goes to hell, not the sin. I get that. I get that. Maar die Here kry nie lekker nie, wanneer mense doodgaan, sonder om hom te ken. Hy kry nie lekker nie. It's not like, yes, kry vir jou, you little son of a, you so and so, toot, 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 blank, blank, beep, 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 beep. It grieves God's heart because he knows of our loss of potential. And when God is angry today, and the grief of his heart, the anger of God, the justice of God was taken out on Jesus Christ on the cross, all of it. Therefore, Jesus said, it is finished. It's finished. The price is paid. So today, what gets God angry is like, oh man, my child, there's so much more that I have in store for you. Would you just live this way? So the thing that must be in our heart, our hatred, must be for evil and not for people. We're in great danger if hatred rules our hearts. And then there's it comes back full circle again. David realized, oh, hang on a second, I'm looking around too much. Focus my eyes on God. And in verse 23, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Folks, I believe this is why God saw it fit to be able to use David after he did what he did with Bathsheba and murdering, getting her husband murdered. God knew. David says, God, search my heart. Show me, Lord. Show me if there's anything that's not pleasing to you. My brother, my sister, where are we at this morning? Are we running away from God and just hiding ourselves from the things of God? Or are we willing to turn and face God, knowing that, man, every little fiber of every little strand, every atom of every fiber inside hierdie ou teddy beertjie, so oulik is wat hy is. God knows. God knows. Hierdie hartjie, he knows. Like this bear's heart can be seen. Die Here kyk reg deur ons. Isn't it strange when people do things that they don't want people to see? They're like hide from people, and like God sees it all anyway. Can you really hide from God? This psalm has just taught us you can't. No matter where we go, I can't get away from your spirit, Lord. May we come to a place in our lives, my brother, my sister, where we turn to God and say those two verses at the end, verse 23 and verse 24, examine me, God. Search my heart. See if there's anything in me that is displeasing to you. David makes himself completely vulnerable and from his perspective opens himself up to the Lord. And that's my encouragement to us this morning. God's encouragement. Where are you in your journey? Are we experiencing this connection with God? Are our eyes turned off the Lord and thinking about other people and their issues? Or are we at this place where we say, Lord, examine me? Let's pray together as we close off this morning. Father, we thank you that you really love who we really are. In spite of the intimate knowledge that you have of us when we are at our worst, your love is just so incredible. I know that we don't fully understand it in this life, but Holy Spirit, reveal it to us as we can handle it more and more and more, just how much you love us. As each man, woman, and child here today, and those watching and listening online, as we pray this in our hearts, like David did, pray to the Lord as we say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Put out anything in me that offends you. Point it out, Lord, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Father, any anxiety that is in me for whatever reason, bring me your peace. And Lord, I want to come to you this morning and say, Father, I am sorry. Forgive me, Lord. You know what you need forgiveness of, and you just let the Lord deal with you and do business with you right there as you're seated this morning and listening online. Forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry. Lord, you know the motive behind everything that I do and say. Forgive me, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you enable each one of us to live a walk of humility and integrity before the Lord. Lord, as men and women pray, thank you that you give them courage, Lord God, to walk blameless before you, Lord, in obedience before you, Lord, humility before you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And may we keep our eyes on you, Lord God, and not be so heavenly minded that we are no earthly good, but realize, Lord, that you fill us to be emptied again. And you teach us that we can teach others, and you give us freely that we can give to others freely. Lord, I come against any lie of unworthiness in anybody this morning in the name of Jesus. Any lie of not good enough that the enemy has placed on any person, I cancel that right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you don't make mistakes. You don't make us and then say, oops. No, Lord. Your intimate knowledge of us, Lord God, you still love us. So I pray, Lord God, for Holy Spirit confidence in each one of us this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for protection over us supernaturally, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you will get us, this world, this body, your church here, our Christian family and friends, Lord, our unsaved family and friends, Lord, that you would get us all through the stench and the negative effects of this pandemic. Lord, I thank you that we will come through stronger, Lord. Let our faith increase in these times of difficulties, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, may we boldly step out in faith the places you send us to and call us to, Lord, knowing, Lord God, that you lead us, but that also you follow us, that your hand is upon us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray that you open doors supernaturally for people financially, also for this church, Lord God, as we experiencing the challenges like everybody financially, Lord, supernaturally open the doors, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you for making the time to listen this morning, to receive what the Lord has for us. May Almighty God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you his supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Have an awesome week. Stay safe. Show random acts of kindness to somebody. Do it to them before they do it to you. Let's worship the Lord together one more time before we go on our merry way. Thank you for listening, folks. Bless you guys.